In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. Question of the day. Yesterday's answer is, what should you do 2 hours before bedtime if you want to sleep better? The answer is, take a shower. Never would have got that one. Top website answer was exercise, and actually, that is one of the worst things you can do. You should be done exercising at least 4 hours before you go to bed because you've raised your core temperature and people sleep better when they're cooler. So that was yesterday's answer on the RushToReason.com website. Today is, can you name what only 10% of the people surveyed find easy to do? Can you name what only 10% of people surveyed find easy to do? Answer this on the RushToReason.com website. Charlie has no idea. Here's some choices, or the choices that are on the website right now. Stick to a budget, a meal calendar, their child's math homework, and get 8 hours of sleep a night. So one of those four is the answer. 10% of the people surveyed find that this is easy to do. I would think that all of those are hard to do for most people. So only 10% say it's easy. So there's your hint. Not many people find that out or find that easy, by the way. The particular answer, I should say. Again, RushToReason.com. Find the question of the day and the answer that you can take multiple choice of and take your pick. All right. A couple of real quick housekeeping things. After talking to numerous folks inside of not only the automotive industry, but outside of it, and this even is with a lot of the sponsors that we have here on Rush to Reason, we have a lot of folks in the trades looking for help. Everything from the electrical HVAC side to the auto technician side to the handyman side to you name it. Everybody, for the most part, is looking for help. So if you are somebody that fits any of the descriptions of what I just said, and if some of you maybe are looking to make a career change or something along those lines, please let me know. I'll direct you to the right individuals that are looking for help. But all of my automotive shops, by the way, need technicians. There's not a one of them that doesn't. Every one of them is looking for technicians and, in some cases, service advisors. So if there's anything along those lines that you want more information on, please let me know. Go to the website again, RushToReason.com, and let me know, and I'll get you all the right information. Okay. A couple of other quick, I don't know if these are necessarily housekeeping things, but just news that's going on today. Some of you may notice that there are quite a few websites that are down, even as we speak. What that stems from is the company that, it's hard to explain how the internet works if you don't know, but DNS, which is domain name servers, and there's addresses to each server and where things go and how it gets routed. It's much like how the mail ends up at your front door, okay? It's probably the best way for me to explain it. And there are computers that route that traffic. Think of it that way. Think of it as, you know, the sorting device for the post office that decides where all of the mail gets sorted, then goes to the mailman that goes out to your mailbox and so on. Much is the same here, only this is done electronically instead of manually. There's a couple of companies that do this pretty fervently across the internet, Oracle being one of them. And I think I'm saying this correctly. Akamai, it's A-K-A-M-A-I, Akamai, and they're both very intricate is probably the best way for me to say that in how the internet is handled on a worldwide basis. In fact, a lot of the machines and software that drives these particular types of servers, these DNS servers, are run by those particular companies and their software. Well, what happened today, evidently, is Akamai did some sort of an update patch, something along those lines, and when they did, it found a bug, basically, inside of the system that they had to go in and then fix, and in turn, things went offline for a while, and that's why a lot of the websites went offline. It wasn't that the websites, let me make sure I explain this right. The websites for the places you were trying to go to, like FedEx or Delta Airlines or even McDonald's, these websites you were trying to get to, the websites themselves weren't down. It's just the servers that send the traffic to them were down, so there was no way for you to reach them. It's probably the best way for me to explain that. So as those DNS servers are down, there's no way for the traffic to know where to go. So it just sort of sits out there in limbo. It has no idea what server it's going to, and it never reaches the destination. The website never pops up, and that's why things were stagnant for a good part of the day. In fact, some still are. And there's even some mobile websites and so on, similar situation that's going on there, I've noticed, throughout the day. It's sort of been hit and miss on which ones you've been able to get to and not get to. And again, that is not because of at least to our knowledge now, from what they're saying, it's not a cyber attack or anything along those lines. They simply did a patch that released a bug, basically, or it found a bug. Maybe there was a bug that was hidden. And, you know, this kind of goes back to the perfectionism topic I had yesterday, where, you know, if you wait as a company to release something once it's entirely perfect, quote unquote, you may never get it released because you're going to keep finding something. So in the case of even this, they get to where they're, you know, 85, 90%, 95% even. They release it, and then as time goes by, they patch it and do different things along the way and so on. And in this case, they did, and it caused other issues. So really goes along with what we were talking about yesterday. But I hope I did a good enough job explaining that. But for some of you that have been out there looking at websites and so on, no, there's not some grand conspiracy. It's not the left taking things down. It's none. By the way, some of those websites I mentioned are very much probably on the left anyway. So no, it wasn't cybersecurity, anything along those lines, simply a DNS issue that cropped up, and it will probably be it's already been handled. The patches and everything are done and taken care of. It sometimes just takes a little while for those addresses to resolve, they call it, quote unquote. Once they resolve, they'll find the website and away they go. So also, this is just mind-boggling, I guess is the best way to say it. And I'm not taking sides here, but it's just mind-boggling to me that the Tokyo Olympic Games organizers fired a gentleman by the name of Kentaro Kobayashi today, I guess either late last night or first thing this morning. Is that right, Charlie? Late last night or first thing this morning? Over a joke. He was in a comedy club kind of a setting and was, a comedian, basically. Right, Charlie? He has a comedy group, I should say. And made a joke about the Holocaust as a part of that act in the 1990s. Now, I'm not saying what he did was right, but what I am going to say is, when do some folks get a pass for something that's happened in their past? In other words, where's that cutoff of, well, that was 25 plus years ago. Shouldn't we maybe, you know, question that person as to where they're at today and how they feel and so on? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Charlie, for saying that. He is like the key organizer of the games. He's like the film producer. He's handling all the opening ceremonies, a lot of things that go behind the scenes and so on. And I guess his team is in total disarray because he's sort of that guy that has been at the core, I guess you could say, of everything going on, and now he's not there. And I'm guessing if he's if I'm stepping on toes, but I'm going to say it anyways. If he's core to his Asian culture, which I'm guessing he is, a lot of those individuals in those particular arenas are very micromanagement type. So most likely a lot of that stuff didn't get passed off to someone else to even know how to do. And I'm sure, Charlie, that's why the team is in total disarray, because if it's typical of the culture, they want to have their hands in everything, and they typically don't delegate much off. It's just the way they are. It's just their culture. And by the way, there's a lot of cultures that are that way, not just the Asian culture. There are Americans that are very much that way. I've got people that I get into and consult with, and business owners and so on, that are very much that way. So I shouldn't say it's so much an Asian thing as it is just sometimes a personality issue. But that culture tends to be that way a little more than probably others, because if they fail, it's a huge part of their, am I saying it right, Charlie, their honor system. If they fail, it's probably the best way for me to say that. So they micromanage a lot of things. Point being, this guy's not there anymore. His team doesn't know what to do. And my point is, this is all because of something that happened in the 1990s. So again, Steve Howe's going to join us in just a few minutes. I'm going to ask the question, not only to Steve, but to all of you as well. You know, how long do these things have to, you know, how much time has to pass before we say, oh, okay, that's in the past and let's move on? I'm guessing never. Seems like you could have done something 40 years ago in your life. You know, we saw the same thing with, you know, with some of these, you know, Supreme Court justice nominees and so on, things that happened, you know, many, 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 many moons ago that get revived. And it's like, wait a minute, I'm not even the same person I was then that I am today. Why is this even coming up? But that's the way things are nowadays. Charlie and I were talking before we came on air today. At what point are we not going to have anybody doing anything because everybody's got something in their past that if you dig hard enough into, you will dig something up that, you know, should not have happened, that they're probably even regretful of? And does that disqualify everybody from everything in life? Seems that's the point we're getting to, folks. And yet, the people that are doing the finger pointing never seem to get questioned. Never seem to have the same scrutiny brought upon them. So I got a lot to talk about today. Kurt Rogers will join us in the last hour. We're going to talk housing prices, the medium home price across the country, and so on. Steve House is going to join me in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk about the Delta variant and a lot of what's going on with COVID and a lot of the, I call it, purposeful deception on the part of the press especially and government institutions along with it. And what I mean by deception, I'll explain in a minute when we bring Steve back on, or we bring Steve on with us, I should say. There's just a lot of, in my opinion, deception going on when it comes to COVID right now. And there has been all along, by the way. Again, Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers. I just mentioned it a moment ago. He'll be with us at 5 o'clock through the last hour. Anything you need prior to that, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, Absolute Electrical Heating and Air. And I've been talking all week because Lewis, the owner, joined us on Monday and gave a great offer that ends Saturday. So we got 3 days left to take advantage of this. And that is, you can get their Absolute Advantage membership. It's a $329 a year value. It gives you priority service, 10% off certain services, you know, priority service, even whether it's, you know, during the day or after hours. There's a lot of things that includes, including waived dispatch fees during regular business hours, discounted after service hours, a yearly electrical home safety inspection, a yearly AC system safety and performance inspection. Again, there's lots of things that includes. You can get that for free by texting KLZ and your name to 720-381-1767. Again, KLZ to 720-381-1767.
Call for an AC estimate? Get only an AC estimate. Anytime an HVAC technician tries to upsell you during your estimate, that's not a technician. That's a salesperson. You watch. Later on, a completely different person will come over to install your unit.
Absolute Electrical Heating and Air will not send a salesperson to your house. Your first appointment will be with the technician who installs the unit. Their goal is to give you the service you called for, not convince you to spend more money. The entire team at Absolute Electrical Heating and Air meets for training every Tuesday, and they hear the same message each week. Their job is to make the customer's home more comfortable. You called because you wanted cooler, cleaner air in your house. So that's what you'll get. Your Absolute Electrical Heating and Air technician will give you three pricing options for the only service you requested: air conditioning. Call 720-526-0231 now and get what you called for.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
Meet your future employer in person at the Job News USA Job Fair Wednesday, August 4th. You're tired of submitting online applications and never hearing back. At the Job News USA Job Fair in Aurora, you'll find companies with plenty of open positions, both full and part-time, ranging from entry-level to management. Meet face-to-face with potential employers such as Loomis, Denver Public School, Furniture Row, ABM Aviation, FedEx Ground, Avis Budget Group, TSA, United States Postal Service, and of course, KLZ 560. Mark your calendar for Wednesday, August 4th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Aurora Summit Event and Conference Center. It's completely free for job seekers, so dress professionally, bring your resume, and be sure to stop by the Crawford Media Group booth. Pre-register now at jobnewsusa.com. That's jobnewsusa.com.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
All right. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. Steve House with us now. Steve and I have been really communicating almost, Steve, daily since we've, you know, been talking through COVID the last couple of weeks. And there's so much misinformation, and yet there's some good information out there if you dig for it. But if you just listen to the mainstream media and what they're trying to push on us and social media to boot, which is a part of mainstream media now because that's where people are getting their news, there's a lot of misinformation, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. In fact, it's dangerous in some respects. I mean, you know, right now, like for example, the last couple of days, you know, we've had 50,000 positive tests. The death rate is somewhere around 0.006% of those totals, which is quite low. I mean,
right.
Better than the flu. But the thing is that as we saw in the UK, Israel, things that we talked about last week, if you get this coronavirus and you survive it, your immunity is significantly better than any other thing from what we can tell, right?
Right.
I mean, you have it longer. It's more durable. We don't know whether the vaccines last more than 4 to 6 months. So these people getting positive tests from the Delta variant, and quite frankly, most variants, and I don't think this one's any different from what we can tell, every time you have an evolution or a change in the basic structure of a variant of a virus, it gets weaker. It may actually be more transmissible and more easier to catch, but it doesn't kill as many people.
Right. And I think the numbers, what you just said, explains that very well, and I've been watching the same thing. Yes, we have some issue or some states and some areas in the country where cases are up, but I've always looked, even from day one, Steve, I don't really care about the cases. I care about the deaths. The reality is it's still way, way, way low.
In fact, it's continuing to get lower. The 7-day moving average on deaths is creeping back down again, even with rising cases,
right,
which is very rare. We
right.
haven't seen that across the spectrum of this virus. And then on top of that, Marty McRae, who wrote a book called The Price We Pay, which is a brilliant book on healthcare. He's a doc at Johns Hopkins, one of the smartest guys in the industry. You know, he went to the CDC and said, look, you're talking about, you know, kids dying from COVID. You know, you got somewhere around 358, 360 deaths from COVID on kids. But, you know, did you look at the cases? And they said, no, of course not. They're too busy, right? So he looked at all the cases and confirmed in his mind that none of them were a primary cause of COVID. So you have virtually no kids dying of COVID in this country.
Right.
And yet you now give a vaccine to 12 and older, and we've got 270 or something, you know, men who've gotten, or young men who've gotten, you know, myocarditis, inflammation of the heart. You know, we've gone over 6,000 deaths. You know, there's just all these reasons why, with the survivability of this thing, the CDC not giving us the rest of its story is, in my mind, almost criminal.
Well, it is, and you know, bear with me here, because I think I might have a somewhat of an explanation as to why things are the way they are. By the way, not saying it's right, wrong, or otherwise, I'm just going to give an explanation. I think, Steve, in every industry, and I've seen this in the automotive world, where the, you know, we'll take the automotive world and we'll look at the engineers. So the folks that actually, you know, design the car, they figure how everything's going to get assembled and put together and so on. So they're the engineer. They, by the way, are not the guy out in the field that ever fixes a car and probably never fixed a car in their entire life. But they're engineers. They design the car. They design all the pieces to put together and so on. Yet they have no, quote unquote, real world experience as to how things are working out in the field with the customers and the technicians and the interactions of and so on. I look, and by the way, what happens there is a lot of times the technicians and those in the field will suggest things that need to be done differently on the manufacturing of the car. Sometimes the engineers listen, sometimes they don't. Where I'm going with this, Steve, is I feel like, you know, the CDC, the government, and a lot of the quote-unquote powers that be when it comes to COVID, even a lot of the quote-unquote epidemiologists that are the experts, the Faucis of the world, these are individuals that, frankly, may have never, ever been in the field of healthcare their entire life. They've always been in some sort of form of bureaucracy, hospital administration, the government, or what have you. And the majority of these people, and I've done the research, folks, I'm not lying when I say this, the majority have never had any real-world field experience. And yet, Steve, they're the ones making all the decisions. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I know, and you're exactly right about that. I mean, even if they had been in the field at one point, they weren't there long, and it was a long, long time ago. And, you know, Marty.
Well, and real quick, for everybody listening, and Steve, back me up on this. Our own Colorado expert epidemiologist that's the, you know, in charge of things here in the state and advises Polis constantly is a heart doctor who, to my knowledge, Steve, I've never seen ever practiced. And if he did, it was a year or two at most.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And quite frankly, without an internal medicine doc or an epidemiologist or somebody like that, I mean, you're hard pressed to, I mean, doctors are smart people and scientists generally, but,
yep,
and they understand the human body, but that doesn't mean they're experts in this type of thing. And then, you know, and the even my primary care physician, right? You know, who you say, so let me get this straight, doc, you want me to take the vaccine, but it indicates, everything tells me that it's going to be a 4 to 6 month vaccine protection at some level. And then it's going to die. I mean, the protection is going to die. And he's like, well, you know, what's that based on? I said, here's the UK study. Here's the Israeli study. And oh, by the way, let's take something even more innocuous, more direct and simple. Let's take the fact that these companies are asking for a booster shot already. Well, you don't ask for a booster shot if you don't inherently know you've got a problem with the longevity of your vaccine.
Right.
Why would they even be asking?
They wouldn't.
And
you don't
and
hear it anywhere else. Sort of, you know, you don't hear it in other vaccines. So you wouldn't, Steve, is the answer.
No, and that's why what we get out of the CDC and out of Fauci and these guys is so ridiculous, because I guess they just assume we're all too dumb to realize,
yes,
that you probably don't need a booster unless the vaccine's, yep, wearing out.
The reality is, I think what you just said is exactly right. They all, just like I explained a moment ago, you know, the engineers of the world in the automotive world. And by the way, it's not just engineers, Steve. I can go down the list in the automotive world where it's, you know, it's engineers, it's leaders of trade schools, it's teachers in trade school. I mean, I can go down the list in the automotive world of all these quote-unquote experts that supposedly know everything about the industry, but yet at the end of the day can't fix a car. I look at the same thing going on with COVID much the same way. I really don't see it being any different. And yes, they think we're really stupid.
Well, yeah, and then they throw math at you, right? I mean, this is where you get the, well, look, 300 and some million doses have been given, and with only 6,000 or 9,000 deaths, and maybe there's 10 times that many, maybe there's 60,000 deaths, that's a pretty low percentage. And you're saying, well, yeah, but if you counted COVID deaths right, the number of people who actually die of COVID is fairly small. So
right.
Why do you take a risk on someone dying from a vaccine,
right,
when it's so darn survivable? And this is just, people here are going nuts. I'm up at the Freedom Fest, and, you know, the talks about the vaccine, it's just crazy, because nobody up here believes this vaccine is what it should be.
And I tend to agree with them. And for all of you listening, I want to give you some data. We'll take a break here in just a few minutes, and we'll come right back. But I want to give you all some data to verify and to, you know, solidify what Steve and I are talking about. You're going to hear a lot in the press. In fact, if you Google it, you're going to see that Missouri is in trouble, quote unquote. The reality, Steve, is Missouri is not in trouble. Yes, they've had some cases that are rising, cases. I looked at the death rate this morning. They're a population of 6.16 million people, double that of Colorado, basically. They have an average death rate of 7. To put that in perspective, Colorado, with a population of 3.5 million, has an average death rate right now of 4. So, Steve, tell me, does Colorado have a problem, or does Missouri have a problem, or do either of them not have a problem, which is what I'm basically saying?
Well, neither of them qualify as having a pandemic at that level. That's not a pandemic. I mean, you know, 2,400 people die every day from cardiac disease.
Right.
That is a significantly higher death rate than what this pandemic is. I mean, it's crazy.
Yep, but yet all we do is continue to focus on, you know, this new Delta variant, and should we be wearing masks when kids go back to school, and on we go. We'll talk more about it in just a minute. Don't go anywhere, Steve. We'll come right back. Michael Bailey, Law, Mobile Estate Planning is next. Folks, get that estate in order. You never know what's going to happen. Charlie and I were talking about that yesterday. You just don't know in life what's going to happen. You need to be ready, be prepared, and have your stuff in order. Michael can do that for you. 720-394-6887 or klzradio.com.
You tend to think of yourself as bulletproof until something proves you wrong. For KLZ's mobile estate planner, that proof of his own mortality came when he was hit by a light rail train. Your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law lays out a specific strategy for your assets so you know what the future holds, whether you get hit by a train or not. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/estate.
John Rush will save you money. You hesitate to hire a business coach because you think you can't afford it. But John earns his wages the first year through tax savings alone. He's not an accountant, but he's been in business for himself since 1986 and has learned the hard way by making mistakes and spending too much money on taxes instead of taking full advantage of the tax code. These aren't loopholes. These are legitimate savings built into the tax code that your accountant may not tell you about. For example, vehicles with a GVWR of 6,001 pounds can be completely written off as a business expense. That means you could purchase a truck or SUV for your business anytime from now to December 31st, 2021, and reduce your tax liability for the entire year. Those are dollars you won't have to pay taxes on now. That could mean the difference between taking your family on a vacation or not. Hiring John today will save you thousands. Email John at rushtoreason.com.
You don't care about kids. A petitioner canvasser chastised my friend when she refused to sign the petition to get Initiative 25, LEAP, the Learning Enrichment and Academic Progress Program, on the November 2021 ballot. If you really care about kids, decline to sign. Kim Munson here. Friday, author and blogger at toadvancefreedom.com, Rick Turnquist shares his thoughts on LEAP. Entrepreneur and owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, Hal Van Herke, updates us on the latest affecting small business in Colorado. That's Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Coffee, community, and compassion. The place to be where every cup counts. Kunjani World Coffee House in Parker, a proud sponsor of The Kim Munson Show. Located at the northwest corner of Lincoln and Jordan Road.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. I got a text message, too, correcting me on my, and I apologize. Colorado's population is around 5.5 million, not 3.5. 3.5 is the front range. Regardless, it even makes our numbers, Steve, even that much less when you throw, you know, another couple million people into the mix. Again, bottom line, we really don't have any issues across the country in the death rate. I've been looking at that nationwide for the past, gosh, Steve, since the pandemic, well, quote-unquote pandemic started, really, especially the last 3 or 4 months as we've been talking, you know, more closely, you and I. I guess question I've got, and it's something I'm continually asking you, and I know that the answer is, you know, this is about power, it's about control and all these different things, but there's still something in the back of my mind that I guess I just have to keep asking. What is the real end goal of the vaccines? I realize it's a money issue and there's a lot at stake and so on, but I just have to keep wondering, and maybe it's my, you know, maybe it's the just the questioning side of things in my world or what, I don't know, but I just keep having to ask myself the question, what's the real end goal here? Because there's still something I think there that we're not being told.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I checked as well while you're on the break that Missouri's 7-day rolling average on deaths is 3 deaths a day. And, you know, Colorado's even just a little bit higher than that. But, you know, the thing you look at the charts, right? So the charts all along the pandemic, you know, you'd see a big bump in case or positive test scenarios, and you'd see the same bump just lag a little bit on deaths, but that's not the case with this latest.
No, it's
surge.
Not.
The deaths are going down and down. And the reason why that is because it's treatable, right? They've
right.
figured out antivirals,
that's
and treated,
right.
et cetera. I think the other thing about vaccines and this whole vaccine process, I think they've wanted to have an mRNA-type vaccine be qualified and used for years and years, because you can use that type of vaccine for almost anything that comes up. So you basically create this universal vaccine. If you look at Gavi, which is the global group that's, you know, trying to drive vaccines, you know, Gavi wanted all children 2 and under to have 10 vaccines by the time they were 2 worldwide. They started that push 10 years ago. Gates gave them $1 billion to do it. You know, I think their whole thing is they want to try to eradicate all these diseases by using vaccines. Some of it might be their ego and becoming, you know, hey, I'm the person who stopped, you know, childhood disease. I stopped, you know, communicable diseases worldwide. I'm with Gavi. But other parts of me believes that there's some level of control in this, and that they really want to be able to tell people, you should be afraid and you should do what I tell you to do. And that's it. And I just can't find any other reason than that. I mean, population control has been brought up. And a few other things, John. I don't have a lot of evidence on that type
of
stuff.
No, I don't either.
All I know is...
And the reason why I don't think that's an issue, Steve, is the population worldwide is already controlling itself. In fact, we're seeing a decline, and we're seeing even countries like China now, Canada, even really we're doing it here in the U.S. We're trying to incentivize people now to have kids. So really, the population control, I don't really see as an issue, because it's controlled. It's affluence controls population anyways. We don't have to worry about it any other way.
Yeah, we also lost 1.5 years on our life expectancy between 19 and 21.
Right.
So, you know, people are going to die sooner. And I'm not sure exactly what it is. I mean, there's money involved. Obviously, there's a lot of money involved. But, you know, fundamentally, it's the government getting control of people by saying, look, we'll tell you when you need to do something and when you don't. Otherwise, you know, just listen to us and stop praying to God, because God's not going to help you.
Yeah, and I, you know, honestly, Steve, virus. I think, you know, you sort of took the words out of my mouth on that one. I really feel like, in a lot of ways, the end goal is not the control over us individually, but a total population control, to where really they do step in and become quote-unquote God. And if they say do X, then you're going to go do X, or you're not going to be able to do X, Y, and Z if you don't do X and Y.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. If the Chinese were telling us the truth, and I don't believe they are...
No.
They went from ramping up to 47,000, 48,000 people getting the virus to absolutely nobody after that. So whatever they told their people, whatever they told them to do, obviously worked phenomenally well, because they've had 7 deaths since this thing leveled off for them more than a year ago, and virtually no cases. So if you can get that kind of control in a communist country, why not just make everybody communist so you can control what people do?
I also believe, Steve, that this is a different topic than the vaccines, because, you know, the vaccines are to, quote-unquote, eradicate what got started, which I don't think anybody in the vaccine world, and I may be stepping out here and saying something I shouldn't, but I really don't think anybody in the vaccine world had anything to do with the production of the virus itself. Now, I do believe, in someone that believes, you know, wholeheartedly, that this was a man-made, a produced virus. It got loose prior to what I think they even wanted to do with it, you know, all in all. And I do think this was a biological weapon that was in design. And I think it was a biological weapon designed to attack certain individuals on a DNA by DNA basis. And what I mean by that is, I think they were trying to develop something where if they wanted to target a particular people's group, including even a class of individuals, i.e., you know, black or Asian or Spanish or whatever it happens to be, I really think that's what they were looking at with this virus. And frankly, it got out sooner than what it was, you know, sooner than it was supposed to, and it wasn't fully developed yet. This is my own belief. I have no proof to back this up, but frankly, Steve, common sense kind of tells me I'm not way off my rocker.
Yeah, it could be that, or it could be the premise that we spend somewhere around 90% of all of our healthcare costs in the final year of our life.
Yep.
You know, the flu itself is considered to be, you know, a killer in, you know, nursing homes, assisted living. I mean, it has been for years and years and years. I mean, the time you spend in a nursing home is very short. It's less than a year on average, and the flu kills a lot of people. So, you know, if you really were trying to control the population and manage the cost of healthcare, the older people die quicker and sooner from something like this, you have a lot less cost.
Right. And again, I don't have anything to back up what I'm stating, but I think as time goes by and as the Rand Pauls of the world start delving into this more and more, which, by the way, he just continues to to fight and scrape. And I know you're at a conference that's very much about his belief system. And the reality is, I mean, this guy's not going to let it go. I think Dr. Fauci doesn't really understand who he's up against, because Rand Paul is not letting this thing go. This guy's going to, before it's over with, and he's really demanding it now, Steve, a full investigation of what's going on, and Fauci being at the center of that.
Yeah, and frankly, during the 16 election, I got a chance to meet Rand Paul. I know he's a retinal surgeon. Retinal surgeons are a special group of people in the sense that there are very, very, very few of them that are not really, really intelligent. And Rand Paul is very, very intelligent. I mean, he's not only a doctor and a scientist, but he's obviously, legally skilled.
Right.
There's so much about this guy he's just going to eat Fauci alive over time, because there's no way to explain all the old videos of Fauci talking about gain of function research and everything else. I mean, this was a virus they created. And the new head of NIH, I forgot who he was, I heard this week say something about, well, we don't have any evidence that this was created by man. There's been no alterations. I'm like, dude, you're like 6 months behind on reading the current literature we all have. And what are you talking about?
Right. Right. Even us that are novices, I consider myself a novice in this, Steve. I mean, I know enough about it to, come on air and talk about it and so on. I am by no means a medical expert by any stretch of the imagination. I can read data, though, and I've been saying that from day one. I mean, I can read where the death rates were and where they were in the country and so on and so forth. That really wasn't that difficult to do. And to your point, yeah, some of these experts, quote unquote, and even some of the media, it's like, wait a minute, time out. You guys are like 6 months behind on where things are right now.
Well, yeah. In fact, here's the scariest scenario for the Biden administration and the bureaucrats like Fauci, is that first you prove that it was man-made in a lab in China. Secondly, you prove that it wasn't the Chinese by themselves, that they were funded and supported by other countries,
right,
predominantly someone like the U.S. Then you find out it wasn't just the U.S. It might have been Russia and somebody else who was playing the game. I mean, it unravels once you get to that point. Then you got a worldwide population who's saying, you screwed our lives up. You killed trillions of dollars of economic activity, my business. You killed my parents, my children. I mean, at some point in time, the people of the world where, the Bilderbergs and others who wanted one world government, it comes unraveling in a dramatic fashion because governments themselves created the problem.
Yeah, I've always been one, Steve, where I know I'm kind of in the opposite in this. There's a lot of folks out there that think, well, this is just the end times and sign of the times and the direction that we're headed. And I kind of look at it the opposite and say, wait a minute. No, I think there's been a huge, huge hiccup in all of that. And as more of this continues to unravel and unfold and people of the world really start to see what happened, I look at this as being a huge speed bump for that end of it, not something that's going to progress us towards it.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree with that. I still can't understand, by the way, on the vaccine, why emergency use authorization says you cannot promote the vaccine as being safe. Under EUA, that is not allowed. But yet I get an email from Jason Crow saying, not only is it safe, but please put down why the vaccine helped you in an email chain and promoting your kids getting it. And I'm like, who are these guys? They're not doctors or medical professionals. They're not even allowed to do that. How are they getting away with it?
And along those lines, Steve, I had asked this question yesterday, and we talked about it on the National Crawford Roundtable. And the thing that I'm confused about is, and I'm a believer that, businesses should have the freedom to do whatever they want to. If they want to require you to wear a yellow shirt with black polka dots, and that's a part of the uniform you need to wear every day, great. I'm all for it. Whatever they want you to do, you need to do. On the same token, I believe that if a business wants people to be vaccinated, they have that right to do. Although I believe they need to look at all of the consequences surrounding a non-approved test. Really, this is in the test phase of a vaccine. And I think as a hospital, especially Ford Hospital in Detroit is now requiring all of their employees to be vaccinated. Yeah. I think as an employer, Steve, that's a very, very unwise move on their part. And I don't know who's guiding these individuals legally speaking, but man, these are trial lawsuits waiting to happen.
Well, yeah, not only that, I think you're right about the lawsuit part, because when you think about it, if it's discovered down the road that the vaccine has some unsafe spike protein generated problem, then anybody who forced someone to get it is going to be legally liable for forcing them to get it to keep their job. And, there's potential for problems with this, neurologically. In fact, we saw the CDC, I sent you that slide this week.
Right.
Back in October, they put a list of all the potential side effects on a slide. It's public information. Most of those side effects, the worst ones, are coming true now, and they knew it back in October.
Right.
So why did they go forward so aggressively rather than being more targeted and specific with the vaccine early on. They didn't. They just went after it, and I think that they're going to be culpable as well.
I agree. And you look at some of these, you know, really, really sharp trial attorneys, and you start talking class action lawsuits and so on, and you've got, you know, lawyers that could basically take the same information that you and I have been given and then go to somebody like OSHA, which, you know, workman's comp will then step in at some point on some of these job-related, quote-unquote, COVID vaccine injuries, really is what they'll call them, or downsides to it down the road. And you know, people forget that OSHA and workman's comp, you know, you could have gotten asbestos. You know, there was a gentleman here recently up in the Washington area that sued NAPA, a genuine parts company, for asbestos. Being affected by asbestos back when he was a technician in his early days. He already won. They're appealing it, but he won a $70 million settlement already. It's getting appealed, Steve, as we speak. But keep in mind, this is stuff that happened on the job some 25 to 30 years ago. If you think for 1 second there's not going to be attorneys out there running after things that may happen negatively when it comes to a vaccine and you as an employer force it upon your employees, if you think for 1 minute you're going to be absolved of that, you're crazy.
Oh, I know. And then we've got another, you're absolutely right, we've got another complication that we've, you know, discovered through Marty Macrae and others this week, which is all indications are from the CDC's original data, no one needed more than one shot.
Nobody. Right, right.
They didn't need more than one shot, right? So they're giving all these people two shots. So you're basically over-medicating people. I think the evidence is going to turn out to be because they knew it wasn't going to last very long. So they give you two shots and
double
the hope
it
that it's stronger.
Yep.
Yeah, and it'll last longer. I mean, now we have two shots. Now we need a booster because even the two shots don't make it last too long, according to the UK and Israel stuff. There's so much potential for lawsuits and problems. And quite frankly, the concern is, will people get sick down the road because their immune systems will not be as strong as they should be, having taken this vaccine and gotten spike proteins to overreact?
You know, and those are things right now we just don't know. And that's where I'm one that, you know, and I've said this all along, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not anti-vaccine. In fact, in this particular case, if you're somebody that's, you know, immune compromised and you've got other issues going on, or you're elderly and there's things in your world that, you know, you just think you want to be, you know, a little extra protected, you know what? Knock your socks off, Steve. I don't think in those particular cases it really matters. But for somebody like me, then, you know, I feel like I'm not that old. I'm 56. I'm young. I'm healthy. I got a lot of years left. I've been able to fight all the way through this for the last, you know, year and a half without having any adverse effects from being around individuals that have had COVID. Why do I need a vaccine? I've said that numerous times. I'm going to keep saying it. I don't need one.
Yeah, you don't. Neither do I. And because I had it, I'm probably more protected the rest of my life than most people. So I totally agree with you on that. One of the other sort of side stories up here, John, that I think is interesting that relates to this is, you know, Governor Noem was on stage last night, and she pointed out something that is really, really important about this whole virus thing. She said, you know, in South Dakota, you know what we did, right? We didn't lock down. We didn't put people require masks. We still don't require masks. She said, but you know what we didn't do that was so important? We made the right decision, but in retrospect, it was so important, was we never defined what an essential business was.
Perfect.
Because we weren't willing to define what a non-essential business was. And so, you know, when you think about the ability to define essential business versus non-essential business, the next time we have any type of crisis, in the states where they've done that, there's already precedents for that. You know, there's precedents where you could shut things down under emergency orders for different reasons.
That's right.
Maybe it's because, you know, it's an education thing, or maybe it's a fire thing or whatever. But the fact that they didn't do that in South Dakota, they don't have any precedent set for what an essential business is. And I think that's a critical step, and it's something governors are going to use against us, or, you know, certainly are going to be susceptible to that for years to come.
By the way, for those listening, and especially those of you on the left, South Dakota, who did everything Steve just said a moment ago, who you would think today, Steve, because all of that and the fact that they probably have one of our lowest vaccination rates in the country, they would just have skyrocketing cases. The reality is they don't. They have great herd immunity up there, and they have zero deaths and only a seven-day average of 28 people on new cases.
I know.
It's nothing.
It's amazing.
It's nada.
And you know, you know what else? She reminded this up last night, that this is the one state in the union where the state bird and the state animal are hunted, killed, and eaten as well.
Good point.
So if you're free, if you want freedom, you can find it here.
So, you know, the conference that you're at, tell everybody one more time where you're at, what you're doing, and give us some other highlights real quick. We got a few minutes left here. I'll let you do that.
Yeah, I'm at Freedom Fest. It's an annual conference. It's generally populated by somewhere around 55-60% libertarians, 35% conservatives, and a mix of other people. The talks are from people like, you know, the governor, obviously, but Stephen Moore is here talking about economics and Trumponomics. And, you know, you've got national people like Dave Rubin and, you know, Matt Kibbe's here, Senator Mike Lee's here. They're just talking about what's going on in America and you know, what they think we have to do to go forward. But for the most part, you find a highly liberty-oriented audience, 3,000 or 4,000 people. The lines were hours long initially to get here because people were so excited about talking about liberty. Wow. That's what it's all about. And, of course, the vaccine and the virus process, nobody here is wearing masks. And, you know, if there's a super spreader event, I would be shocked. But the reality of it is the folks up here are talking about what they have to do to regain their liberty. And, you know, faith has been a prominent thing. I've gone to a couple of faith-based presentations that were just exciting. We can't let the government get rid of God here. And I think that's a big part of what's happening. So,
all right, one last question. And I know this is a little bit of a crystal ballish sort of a question because we really don't know. But what do you think is going to happen FAA-wise on September 13th when the current mask order expires?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to get extended depending on what happens with the Delta variant. Right now, you know, we obviously see the average of cases, or I say positive tests, has gone up. You know, we've seen 45, 50,000 in the last few days. I mean, it's still July. I think if that goes back down, you know, by mid-August, we could see the FAA, you know, release the mask structure. Of course, the Democrats leaving Texas flying without mask and having a super spreader on an airplane was the first time I've ever heard of an airplane having a serious impact on COVID. So I don't think that was airplane related.
No, me neither.
However, they may use those kind of things. They may use those kind of things to say, hey, look, let's be safe rather than sorry. Let's be safe rather than sorry, even though I think it's just a ridiculous concept.
And I wish they would come back and just say, you know, it's optional. If you're a flight attendant or a pilot, well, actually, they're recommending pilots don't wear them because of communication. It's a whole other topic for another day. But I hope they come back and just say, listen, why don't you do what you feel is best for you? We already have great filtration on airplanes. The fact of the matter is there's a lot of airports where they're really not even being stringent on mask wearing. It depends on what airport you happen to be in. There's ones around the country where it's not a huge issue until you actually set foot on the airplane. I really hope on the 13th they'll come out and just say, you know what, to each his own, you do what you feel is best for you. I doubt they will, like you say, but I hope they do that.
Well, it's essentially what the governor told us last night was that, you know, their posture was give you all the information you need. You can wear a mask if you want to, take precautions if you want to, because you're smart enough to figure that out. Meanwhile, you know, the fastest growing economy in the country in theory was Texas at 6.5%, but it's grown almost 12% here, right, because their businesses didn't shut down. Let people decide for themselves. Yep. It's their life, their risk.
Amen.
And there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to do that.
I'll let you get back to the conference. Thanks for calling in and taking time, Steve. I appreciate it very, very much.
Always a pleasure, John. Appreciate
Thank you very much. And Steve, by the way, everybody listening, has just been a wealth of information for myself and us as a program. I've been able to pass all that information on for all of you listening. So Steve has actually been the Colorado GOP chair. He's been in the healthcare world for a very, very long time on the, you know, sort of that advisory role, that side of the fence, software, you know, the systems that run hospitals and so on. So he's been very involved in the medical community for a very long time. He's ran different businesses and so on. And he's also ran for the governor of Colorado on one occasion as well. So he's a very, very intelligent individual. We've become very good friends over the years. And I like Steve, you know, dearly, as you guys can tell. I think he's a guy that's not only extremely sharp, but he's just one of those guys that gets it. You can hear from talking to him that he just understands, you know, what goes on in the world around us. And I really appreciate all of his insight and the things that he sends me on a regular basis. We communicate back and forth constantly, and he's a great friend, and I really appreciate all that he does for us in our show. So Franktown Firearms is next, folks. And again, folks that get it, they do. They get it. They'll help your kids get it. What I mean by that is they'll even help educate your young people when it comes to firearms. If you feel like you just don't have that expertise, or that you have kids where maybe a third-party trainer would actually fit that better, and we all know what that's like. Sometimes a third-party trainer on how to teach them to drive is better than you teaching them. So sometimes having that other person there makes the world of difference. They'll do all of that for you. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
Preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Everyone at Franktown Firearms has the same goal, to fire off some freedom seeds safely and confidently. That common goal builds relationships based on shared values and mutual respect, which makes Franktown Firearms one of the few places you can preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Because they maintain good relationships with suppliers, treat customers with respect, and offer lower tax rates, Franktown Firearms continues to sell guns and ammo at or below MSRP. But they don't only want you to buy a gun. They want to see you develop confidence through practice. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/franktown for $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members, first responders, and military veterans receive discounts in the shop, as well as discounts on all classes. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Our reverse mortgage professor, you heard him a little bit earlier today, right before our program, Bruce Simmons, great guy. He'll help you with making decisions on a reverse mortgage, and he'll just tell you if it's a right fit or not. Call him now, 303-467-7821 or klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Barber's Foods, folks, that's with an S, Barber's with an S Foods. It's barbersfoods.com, the highest quality protein since 1949. And yes, they vet everyone they get meat from. They know exactly where it comes from and how it gets to your table and how it's processed along the way. Give them a call today or go to the website again, barbersfoods.com. If there's something you want that's not on the website, they'll get it for you as well. Again, barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods proudly sells what they feel is the best bratwurst in the nation. Their bratwurst comes from Tim Beeler's fourth-generation pig farm in Iowa, where Tim grows non-GMO-fed Duroc pork, raised without using gestation, crates, or antibiotics. Check out the 5-ounce French-cut loin chops, natural hot dogs, baby back ribs, breakfast sausage links, and garlic pepper bacon at barbersfoods.com. If you're looking for great beef, Barber's Foods carries grain-fed Colorado Angus beef in steaks and burgers and an assortment of Wagyu steaks from Dan Morgan's Wagyu Ranch. These all-natural, restaurant-quality steaks are some of the best you'll ever eat. You can pick up your order at the Denver Warehouse near the National Western Center, or Barber's Foods can drop them off to any Denver metro area address. Go to barbersfoods.com and thank you for supporting the Colorado native farm family that owns Barber's Foods.
You're smart, and Business Equipment Services is a smart way to go. That's when you're filling a need for your business and you don't need the state-of-the-art newest model to make copies. Refurbished, restored, and relational service is actually better than retraining your staff just to make a copy. I mean, really. And when something breaks down, the service tech is right there. Business Equipment Services, for sales, solutions, and service. Go to klzradio.com and click on Advertisers.
Summer's here and car shows are back. Join John Rush and the Drive Radio crew as they broadcast live from the 20th annual Red Lion Run Car Show on Saturday, July 24th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Leprino Foods parking lot located on the corners of 38th Avenue and Quivis Street in Denver. All proceeds go to Food for Thought Denver. The Red Lion Run Car Show is brought to you by Group Insurance Analysts and the Italians of America. For more info, go to drive-radio.com.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we're back. Craig, we got about 45 seconds. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, John, I don't know if you noticed, Charles Schumer found something for John Hickenlooper to do after 6 months in office.
Which was?
He is going to chair the committee on investigating what we're going to do about all the space junk floating around above the Earth.
That's a good job for a spacey guy.
Yeah, with all the junk that's floating around in his brain, he should.
Yeah, that's a fact. You got there. And guys, I mean that sincerely. I've met him face-to-face, and he's a space cadet sometimes. I mean that sincerely. He really is.
Well, you know, we've done the six-month review of Biden's administration. Well, we finally found out that Hickenlooper's actually going to do something now after being in office for 6 months.
You haven't heard peep from that guy, have you?
We have not.
Craig, I appreciate it. Great info. And if you want to call back a little bit later after our next guest, feel free to do so in the next hour. That ends this first hour. Thanks for listening to us. If you're listening to the replay hour, thank you very much as well. We'll be back, though. Second hour is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.